Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
I mentioned it. I think everybody was in here during the time. But again, if you don't have a daily bread or you don't have a devotional that you're using, anything, all of us should have some type of devotion that we're using. Whether it's a devotion that's a book, whether it's a podcast, whether it's the sermon series, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's your own thing, we should have something every week that we are on purpose diving into for the nourishment of our spirit and our soul, right? And so if you don't have that, I think also in the, at the Connect Center, there's one of these as well. You can grab one of them. I felt like I was giving books away. Who wants a free daily bread, you know, type of thing? No. But they're out there at the Connect Center, so please grab one. There was something else that I wanted to share, and I can't remember it. Yes, it just came back to me. So last Sunday, we were talking about that our praise and our worship with God is not separate from our circumstance and our situation. And I thought about that great are you, Lord. You know, that's an example. So if you weren't here last week or you didn't hear the message, if you just think in your mind right now, we can even kind of walk through this in this moment. Think in your mind some type of circumstance or situation in your life right now. And it doesn't have to be anything bad, right? It doesn't have to be anything, whatever it is, because we should give God praise for everything, right? In all things, give thanks, right? So, but if you can think about something in your life, and in the midst of that, whatever you're thinking about, just declare, great are you, Lord. And so what's happening is that I'm not treating this situation apart from my devotion to God. Like, don't think of this imagery. Don't go in your secret closet. Don't go in your prayer room and close the door and leave situations on the outside that you don't want to bring to God. Don't go sit at the table and read the Bible for your devotion time and leave a situation out. No, bring it all. Because what you're doing when you're praying, or praising, whatever it is, you're building an altar. This is what Abraham did. As Abraham would go from place to place, he would build an altar unto the Lord. Then he would shift to another place. Then he would build an altar to the Lord. And it said that he would call upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham has some challenges in his life, right? He has some situations. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. So every time you spend time with God, it's as if you're building an altar before the Lord, and we should bring everything into that space. Whatever it is that we're experiencing in life, bring it all. So when we praise God and we worship God or we're praying to God, whatever it is, our moment of devotion, it's as if this is the situation and I'm praising the Lord through that. You know, and I'm saying, great are you, Lord, even though I'm going through this. You know, and that song, I love that song. If you're familiar with Can These Dry Bones Live? So there's a song that says, this is the air I breathe, right? So God has given us breath in our body, not just so that we can smell the roses. He has also given us breath so that we can speak. Remember when Jesus, when God formed man from the dust of the earth, and it says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the same way that God spoke into us is the same way that we need to at times speak into our circumstances and situation. And a lot of that is through praise. We inhale the presence of the Lord and we exhale giving him glory. But if we're not spending time with God, then I'll call it this way, my spiritual lungs is not being filled with the presence of the Lord or the promises of God. Therefore, when I exhale, I'm not exhaling God's will. Sometimes we exhale complaints or murmuring and complaining. And what happened with the children of Israel is because of that, they kept going in a circle. So if you feel as if you're going in a circle, change what you are exhaling. Change what you are inhaling. and feel your I'm just saying this in a kind of imagery way, feel your spiritual lungs with God's word, God's promises, the presence of the Lord. Spend time with God so that he can feel you, so that when you're going through something that may rub you the wrong way, you won't exhale always something negative. You'll exhale what you just received from God. But if I'm not spending time with God, devotional time, that means I'm inhaling probably something that's toxic. And when I get triggered, I'm going to exhale something that is toxic. You shall know them by the fruit, right? It's a scripture. A good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree. We can't hide. We cannot hide what we are inhaling, especially when something triggers us. Have you ever been around a person and they something happened and they cussed out loud? They use a cuss word. And they say, "Ooh, I don't know where that came from." I do. I do. Yeah. Think about that. Whatever we are meditating upon or whatever we're inhaling, when the conditions are right, we are going to exhale it. It's coming out. One way or another, it's coming out. Why they snap like that? It's not like something just happened. It's not I've been doing the right thing and then something happened and all of a sudden I switched to this other person. There is this process that is happening within us. And if I'm inhaling something, I'm just going to call it toxic. If I'm inhaling something toxic, I'm going to exhale something toxic. If I am inhaling something bad, or if I'm taking something bad in, I'm going to exhale something bad. And I can only hold it in but so long. And when the conditions are right, there's a scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes that says that when the clouds are full, when the cloud is full, it will rain upon wherever it is. So if the clouds are drifting and it becomes full, wherever it is, it's going to rain. So look at our lives. So if I'm gathering, if they say one more thing to me, I'm just going to, and then they say one more thing and you go, blah. Why? Because that's what I've been inhaling. So let's flip it. What if I'm meditating upon the word of God? What if I'm renewing my mind with the word of God? What if I'm singing the praises of God? What if I'm spending time in prayer? I'm spending time in worship. I'm spending time with my brothers and sisters. Now, when I'm triggered by something, I'm not so quickly to revert back to, I just call it the flesh, the human nature that opposes the will of God. Now I'm more inclined, even if I'm wrestling with it, more inclined to respond the way that God wants me to respond. Why? Because I've been meditating and spending time with the things of God. You can tell a person that is not spending time with God. And you can tell a person that is spending some time with God. You put a person in certain conditions, and the investment of their time, of whatever they've been doing, is going to come out. And that's true for all of us. We are incubators, and we will give birth to whatever we have been receiving. I'm going to try my best this service not to say amen. If I say amen, I want somebody to raise their hand. Y'all can say it, but I'm going to try my best not to. Y'all see that? What are you meditating upon? And where are you spending your time? We're like buckets. And whatever we're filling ourselves with, like the cloud thing, that's in Ecclesiastes, wherever we are, it's going to rain based upon how full we become of something. And it doesn't have to just be negative. It can be positive. It can be the things of God. And so where are we spending our time? Where are we spending our attention? Where are we spending our attention? There's a lot of stuff that is trying to get our attention. It is ridiculous. there are so many different things going on in our world right now that if not careful, you can spend hours after hours after hours just looking at stuff or just... And this football season as well, for those that like football, like I do, now you feel the need, right, to stay up to date so that when you go to work, you can talk about what happened. And then I think it's election time going on, and we got wars that's going on, and we got tornadoes in the world, in Delaware, all this different stuff that's going on. But in the midst of it, please see this, in the midst of it, God is saying, can you still see me in the midst of all of that? We may not be able to stop all the stuff going on, but can you see me? Can you see me? Can you see me? Are you able to still seek me in the midst of all of that? Vitally important. Because one day, some of this stuff is going to silence. But if our mind is still caught up in what was, we won't be ready to do what it is that the Lord is leading us to do. It's as if you're like your mind is so focused on something, it can stop, but your mind is still going. And we have to be careful of that. It's like if you watch something right before you went to bed and your mind is still trying to finish that story. We have to be careful of what we are entertaining because our minds are so powerful that it will create its own narrative. But if we're meditating upon the word of God and we can include some praise and some worship and some prayer, now our minds can grasp the things of God and mix that with faith and become who it is that the Lord is leading us to do. Praise the Lord. Instead of saying the A word, I'm going to say praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's dive into this word. Oh, man, this is so good. Discipleship. Where are we as we go? My heart desire is that each and every one of us, whether you're here in person, you're watching online, you are moving in whatever it is that the Lord is leading you to move in. My heart desires that no one is standing still. No one is standing still. That whatever it is, that as you spend time with God, or you sense the Holy Spirit leading you, that you are, you're, even if it's small baby steps, that you're moving and you are not standing still. And that can be in whatever category is between you and God, whether it's a deeper devotion, whether it's a call, whether it's whatever it is, whether it's walking in love, whatever it is, but that no one is standing still, that we are moving. So when we're talking about where are we as we go, it's while we're making decisions and doing things in life, are we doing it with God in mind? Or are we just doing things because this is what I want to do? Trust in the Lord, right? We looked at that last week, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Are we acknowledging God in all of our ways? Are we including God in all of our ways as we go? And whatever it is that I'm doing, include God. You will be surprised the amount of believers of Jesus Christ that for somehow it's like, you know, I'm a Christian today and then tomorrow I'm something else. Like, if that's you, stop. That is a double-minded person who is unstable in all of their ways. And it's not about that I got it all figured out, but I've made a commitment that I will follow him. That's discipleship. Wherever he leads me, I will follow him. And so where are we? This is talking about the mind. Where are we as we go and do whatever it is that we believe the Lord is leading us to do? So we're looking at this area of what has been tagged as the Great Commission. And let's dig through this a little bit. So Matthew 28, verse 18 in the Amplified Bible says, Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Now, right before this, if you guys remember in verse 17, remember Jesus said, you know, I'll go to a place and then the whole appointment. So they go to the place where Jesus told them to go. They show up there. Some people worship, but then some people doubt it. So that's where we are right now. Jesus shows up. Some people worship, but then some people are kind of doubting that it's Jesus. And in the midst of either worship or doubt, Jesus speaks. He comes right up in the midst of that. And I shared this 2 weeks ago, that regardless of where you are, whether you're in worship or you're in a place of doubt, God can still speak to you. And sometimes we feel like, I'm too far out there for God to speak to me. You can't outrun God. Like, you can't go so far that he cannot speak to you. Now, the question is, am I listening? Am I responding? But God will never stop speaking to us. He will never stop loving us. You know why? Because he is love. That's who he is. And so if you're listening and you're in this place, you may say, I feel like I'm drifting and I don't believe the Lord is even speaking to me. That is a lie. God will not stop speaking to you. He will not stop drawing you. He will not stop caring for you. He will not stop watching over you. Now, there's these places we're going to reap what we sow. If we're doing some things, there's some things that's going to happen. But that does not mean that God is pulling his love back from us. We got to believe that. So even in the midst of either worship or even in the midst of them doubting, Jesus still shows up like he said that he was going to, and he still speaks. But when he shows up and speaks, he talks about himself. And this is an interesting place when we spend time with God. Who do we hear the most about when we spend time with God? Is it us? Lord, let me tell you about what I'm going through, right? Which is fine, right? Cast your cares upon the Lord. Lord, all right, I got to go to work now. And God is saying, I had something that I wanted to reveal to you, but all we talked about or all we heard, the only person that was part of this interaction that we heard about was you. But in this situation, Jesus comes and steps on the scene. He doesn't say to them, get up and stop worshiping. He doesn't say, why are you doubting? He says, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Like, if you think of some of the interactions in the Bible, like Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, and the Lord asked him a question, like, why are you here? And Elijah says, well, you know, the people and this and that and that, this and all that, and I'm the only one and all that. And then God says, why are you here? There's so many moments when God does not address whatever it is that the person is bringing. He just speaks about himself in the midst of the moment. And that's powerful for us to walk away with. When I walk away with my time with God, do I know a little bit more about God? Have I gotten a little closer with God than when I stepped into this moment? And that should be our goal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. My goal should be, God, I am seeking you. So even in this little 2-minute prayer that I'm going to do on my way before I'm about to walk into this job, God, I just want to connect with you. And it's not just a moment of, okay, I did that. No, God, I'm really talking to you because I really do want to connect with you. I'm really reading your word because I really want to receive. I'm really worshiping God because I really want you to be glorified. I'm not just doing it, God. Like, I really do need you in this moment. And I don't want to just do this. I want to connect with you in the midst of it. And even if it's just 30 seconds, God, that I have, I want to connect with you. And that's the reason why the question is, where are we when we go? Where's our mind? I hope that in our devotion time, that we will literally self-correct ourselves. So if I come and I'm about to read the Bible and I sense that I'm really not in that moment, then I will say, you know what? Stop. Back up. Okay, let's re-engage. Let's do this the right way. Let's correct ourselves. Or if I'm in here and we're praising, you know, God, and I'm finding my mind drifting, or I'm just like staring at the praise team like they're like I'm looking at TV or something like that, then I will self-correct myself and say, okay, hold on, come on, stop. I'm not here for entertainment. I'm here to connect with you, God. Or if I'm in a moment of prayer and I find myself and I'm just rambling on in prayer and I'm just rambling on in prayer and I've gone all over the world in prayer and I've avoided even presenting myself before the Lord, that I will say, hold on, let me stop. Okay, here I am, Lord. Let's correct our own behavior when we come and we approach the Lord. So Jesus says this. So there is this place, and this is what we're talking about, this place where we receive from something from God, in between this place of be disciples. So the disciples of Jesus, they were being discipled, and then he says, go make disciples. So, but prior to them moving forward, this is Jesus resurrected. So that means that he's about to ascend to heaven. Before they go forward to start making disciples, Jesus says, all authority and power has been given to me. Now, Jesus, what good does that do me if you have all authority and power, but you're sending me out to go make disciples? And I believe what's happening in this moment is Jesus is saying, if I have all power and authority, the fact that you're spending time with me, you are equipped now to go make disciples of all nations. But if we jump over spending time with God and we just say, now I'm just going to go do whatever it is that the Lord is calling me to do, I'm going forward ill-equipped. I did not receive what I was supposed to receive for the assignment. And if you're in a place where you're finding yourself jumping from assignment to assignment to assignment to assignment to assignment, you need to find out, okay, like Abraham, when am I going to stop and spend some time with God for the next assignment he has called me to. Remember, Moses said this, Lord, paraphrasing, if you don't go before me, I'm not going. And that should be the cry of our heart. God, if you're not in this, then I don't want to go. I don't want to find myself just being a part of things. I want to find myself on assignment with God, equipped by the God who sent me on the assignment. Now, the imagery of that sometimes is this big evangelistic thing, but this can be something as simple as you talking to somebody at work. And the Holy Spirit has been prompting you to do this over the last few weeks, and you've been dodging it, you've been dodging it, you've been dodging it. And the Lord is saying, I've equipped you to go do this assignment. Well, what am I going to say, God? Say what comes to your heart, because you've been spending time with me. And that is the confidence that as I spend time with God, when I go do the things of God, whatever he gave me is going to come out. And that is trust. That's confidence. But that confidence is not only built in spending time with him, that confidence is also built doing what it is that you believe that he is leading you to do. Well, I believe the Lord is, he wants me to do this. He wants you to do it right now? I believe so. Let's go. Because you won't know until you do it. Praise the Lord. So Jesus says in verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even till the end of the age. So let's just spend a moment breaking this down. Go, therefore. This is talking about us. This is us making a decision to obey whatever it is that the Lord is leading us to do. This is personal. And this is where I want to come down all of our streets. If I could, I would walk right in front of you and look you in the eye. So just pretend that that's what I'm doing. What is the Lord leading you to do? And are you obeying God? God says, Jesus, go therefore. That's the first piece. Because if I don't go, I can't make disciples. I cannot do anything else that the Lord is saying for me to do unless I go. And so what is it that the Lord is saying to you, you're sensing it, or you're wrestling with it, and God is saying, go. Now, please take that into whatever context it is for your personal life. For some people, it is, hey, you need to start doing this ministry work. For some, it's, you need to start praying more. For some, it's, you need to da-da-da-da. Whatever it is for you, what is God saying? By his Spirit leading you to do, and are you obeying it? Pause and just think about that. And if you need to wrestle with that for a moment, go on and wrestle with it. I would if I could. I did, but then I don't know how to wrestle with it. I'm not quite sure what he's leading me to do, wrestle with that. But whatever you do, please do not ignore it. Do not ignore what you are sensing. Don't put it in a drawer and say, well, I'll save that for another season. If you're sensing it right now, what is the next step that you should take right now? Today. Today. Have you ever thought about this? If I responded and obeyed everything that the Lord was prompting me to do, where would I be? And how many lives could be impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the love of God, by the power of God, if I just settled to do what it was that the Lord was leading me to do? And this is not a condemning moment from ourselves, but it is important for us to write down, what am I sensing? And God, help me not to ignore it, but for me to move and start doing it. Go, therefore. Therefore, why is it that I'm able to go? Because all power and authority has been given to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is with me. I can do it because he's with me. And make, all right, so everyone in here and that's watching, we have all obeyed whatever it is that the Lord is leading us to do. Woo! We're all like, we're all in it, right? Yay! Y'all super excited. Y'all like, yeah, I'm moving. I finally started moving. So we're all in that. Y'all are so excited, you're trying to contain it, right? And now you're in this next phase where he says, and make disciples. Now, this is where God is leading me to walk along someone else. And the goal is not for that person to become like me, but that they will become more like Jesus Christ. Because I am becoming more like Jesus Christ. So now this person has come along, or I've come alongside this person. And first, when we are walking, it seems as if we're walking in the same step. Because they are observing my life, the way that I read my Bible, the way that I pray, the songs that I listen to in praise and worship, the church that I go to, or whatever it is, the people that I hang out, and they're trying to mimic me because they are being discipled, which means that I follow closely with a teacher. But the goal is not for them to be like me. The goal is for this person to convert into a follower of Jesus Christ. But the only way they will convert into a follower of Jesus Christ is if I'm demonstrating my life like a follower of Jesus Christ. So there will be this hunger, not to become more like me, but to become more like Jesus. Why? Because every once in a while, I reveal to them the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God through my life. And yes, we go out to eat together. We take lunch breaks. We maybe go on vacation. You know, we hang out and all that kind of stuff. Normal life situations. But I never forget the fact that I don't want them to become like me. I want them to become like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the way that I do that is by me being discipled by Jesus, being discipled by whatever the community the Lord has led me to, so that when I am discipling them, they are becoming more like Christ. So I never stop being discipled. I never arrive to a place where I stop reading and worshiping and growing in God. Because if I do, then now this person, this is where we find people that were following someone and they were saying, wow, you know, we were doing great in church. And then that person that I was following just fell off. And then the person is wondering, what do I do now? Because I was trying to mimic you and not become like Christ. So when you fell off, can I say it this way? When you fell off the scene, I'm lost. Because the focus was on people and not Christ. And this is where we find people drifting like sheep without a shepherd. Because we stood in the place of Jesus rather than pointing them to Jesus. Are y'all with me? So making disciples is not multiplying us. It is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Of all the nations, not just the ones that I am comfortable with, but all nations, ethnicities. People groups. So wherever the Lord is leading me, that's who I'm going to. And let me tell you something. When you are following God's kingdom, he will lead you to some people that you are not comfortable with. Y'all know I want to say that one word, praise the Lord. God will challenge you. And I feel like some of you guys are in one of these different phases. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. You're in one of these phases. And maybe you're in this place right now where the Lord is nudging you to go to all nations. And you're saying, you know, it's easier for me if I just kind of talk to the people that I'm most familiar with. And the Lord is saying, but is that who I'm leading you to? If we all show up talking to people that are like us, that means there's a lot of people that's not like us that's not hearing the gospel. And this is the reason why sometimes you go to churches and everybody seems the same. And everybody is just the same. There's no, when I say this word, I'm talking about diversity of character and personality and gifts and callings in the place, because we're all reaching the same people. And we're afraid to step outside of our comfort zone. And listen, I'm not saying just do it just because I just want to show that I'm this awesome Christian. No, the Holy Spirit is leading you. He says, hey, stop. Say something to that person. You know, one of the things that I told Tremaine this the other day that has been piercing my heart, and it just really pierced my heart even the more yesterday, is the amount of homelessness and people standing in the middle of the medians in Dover I have not lived in Dover my entire life, came here in 96, but it was not like that before. And now you're seeing it. But what if, as you pull up to the light, the Lord says something to you to say to that person? Lord, I've never done that before. And I'm not saying God will say this back, but what if he said, well, today might be a good day to start? Where is the Lord leading us? Who? What communities? What areas is the Lord leading us? If I stop at my experience, that's not kingdom. That's me. That's not anointing. That's me. That's not power. That's me. And that's me that I've become so comfortable. The Lord may speak to one of you guys this week, and your go-to statement may be this: you should come to my church. And the Lord may say, this time, don't say that. This time, talk to them. Talk to them. Share with them what God is sharing with you. You should meet some people at my church. Have you ever been to the point where you were afraid to talk to somebody and you're like, if I can just get them to that one anointed person, I just got to get them to my church. Because if I can just get them to my church, then somebody at my church can talk to them. And what we do is we're leading people and we're dropping them off. We're almost like taxis or something. We're kind of like, I'm picking you up and I'm dropping you off, and then I'll peek and see. And then like I... But what if in the midst of picking them up, the Lord said, you spend time with them, sit with them, talk to them. Stop dropping people off to the people that you think are more anointed than you. We all have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, there may be people that you, man, I don't know how to answer that question. Let me bring such and such in. But please, we got to stop dropping people off. It's like dropping your kids off at school and you're hoping that the school teaches them everything that they need to know. You know you wouldn't do that. Then why would we trust a person with somebody else when the Lord laid upon your heart to connect with them? This is going to be an interesting week for some people in here. Because we're going to sense the Lord like, remember, say something. Stop. I'm going to say it one more. Stop dropping people off. What do you want me to say to them, Lord? Now, if he says, connect them with sister, brother, do that. But please don't let that be your go-to. You preach to them. Some of y'all, I would love to hear you preach what I'm preaching to other people. Because they're going to hear you. And if you keep trying to invite them to church so that they can hear someone else preach, they want to hear from you. And that's the reason why devotion is so important. I couldn't imagine a person come to me and say, hey, you go to church, right? Yeah, I do. Like, what should I read in the Bible? And you like, I don't know. That's bad. I'm not sure. And we do this. Just pray and ask God what you should read. Disciple them. They're asking you, I see something about you that I want to follow. Help me. And what we do sometimes is immediately push them off to the Father. Let's walk with them to the Father. Where should I read? Should I start in the New Testament or the Old Testament? People say Psalms or Proverbs or John. Where should I start? Then there's this book that's called Ecclesiastes. What's that all about? Where should I start? And our immediate response, unless the Lord is leading you, should not be just pray and ask God where you should be. You'll be okay. Have y'all read the Bible? The Bible can be confusing. And for someone that is asking us where I should start, and we just usher them into the spiritual realm as if they're going to be able to tap into the power of God and get this revelation of, oh, I should read this. Why don't we reveal our life to them and says, you know, well, for me, this is where I started. So if you want to, we can start there together. Right? But that might bring some vulnerability. Because what if I don't understand everything that I'm reading? What if they ask me a question? And I'm like, I don't know. I would rather walk along someone reading, and I trust the Holy Spirit to help me, than to just push them off. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? And this is a place of digging in, because you may say, I believe in God. I believe in our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that whole thing about the Holy Spirit, I'm not. But Jesus did not leave out the Holy Spirit when he said, baptizing them. That means that when you're introducing them into the community of faith, you need to introduce them to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the question is, do we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Some of us are very comfortable with the Father. And yes, indeed, Jesus, we can preach the salvation. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we're kind of like, that force that comes in everything. And we find ourselves not being able to explain it, so therefore we don't involve ourselves with it. And God is challenging us. He's saying, I wouldn't have said baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, if I didn't want them to know about all three. So maybe in our journey, let's ask God to help us with all three of those areas. And here's the final part. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. So this is where our walk with them gets personal, and this is where some vulnerability can come in. Because now I am looking to teach them what God has commanded me. So the way that the Lord has commanded me to live my life, now I have to teach them that. But what if I'm struggling with what the Lord is commanding with my life? Then I have very little to teach them. What if I keep saying, no, God, nope, 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 nope. What if I am wishy-washy? Then what am I teaching them? This is where I pull back the curtains of my life. And people are able to see what God is commanding me to do. And this is the invitation that everybody in here has been excited about. We get to teach people what God has been commanding or instructing us, the way he is commanding us to live our life. That is a vulnerable place. So if somebody comes and they say, what's this thing about fasting? Somebody says, oh, I don't believe in that. The Lord has commanded me to fast, but that was that Old Testament stuff. the Lord said, turn the other cheek. Oh, Jesus, he was just playing when he said that. Or walk with a person, not just 1 mile, but go the extra mile with them. What is the Lord commanding? And you notice this language is a lot stronger than, you know, what is it that the Lord is leading you to do? This is where I'm spending time with God, and almost like a surgeon, the Lord is dealing with my heart concerning some things. He is convicting me concerning some things, and now he's saying, what I've commanded you to do, I want you to start teaching other people. It's like that's heavy, Lord. See, this is a vulnerable place, and there's moments that mean that when this person that is following me because they want to learn the ways of Christ, that I'm going to have to say to them that, you know what, I got anger issues that the Lord is dealing with. Or I got some issues that God is digging into me with. But I believe that if I stick with the Lord, that I will be healed in this area. Or I will be delivered in this area. Or I will grow in this area. This is the vulnerable place. And this is often where we certainly begin to drop people off to other people. Why? Because they begin to get too personal. Discipleship is personal. You cannot disciple a person from afar. You can see how close this is getting. When a person makes a decision that I am going to be baptized into the community of faith, that's when it gets real personal. And unfortunately, many times we're excited to get them in, but there's no one that wants to get personal with people. I don't want you to see my bad side. Well, if the Lord is working on my bad side, I don't care if you see it. But if the Lord is unable to work on my bad side because I keep turning, then I don't want you to see that. And this is where we have people running into this relationship with Christ. And then they look, and everybody looks like they got it all together. Nobody is showing me any vulnerability. And what they do, little by little, they back up. I can't be like them. But if we would take a moment and say, yep, I am this. I am that, I am this, but God is still working on me in this area. That is teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And then, of course, the last part, he says, and guess what? I'll be with you always. So you got this. You can do this. Praise God. Praise God. If you want to, you can take the picture of these questions that's up here. Or you can watch the live stream. But where are we? Are we receiving what God has for us as we go? Are people becoming more like Christ or more like us? Are we going to the people that God is leading us to? Do we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Can people see the commandments of God through us? And then do we believe that God is with us wherever he sends us? And just to go a little bit deeper, again, where are we with God as we go? And I said this, I believe everyone in here is moving in whatever it is you sense the Lord is leading you to. Even if it's small steps, you're moving. Now that we're all moving, are we walking in obedience? Are we making disciples who look more like Jesus? Are we following the leading of the Holy Spirit? And then do our lives demonstrate that we believe that God is with us? So where are we? And are we willing to go where God is leading us? I would love to think, and I'm just going to believe this, that we are all in this together. And we are. And you may say, you have no idea the journey that I'm on. I don't. But I gotta believe that God is with you on this journey. And whatever you are sensing, that he's with you. So keep moving. Don't stop. Keep moving. Praise God. Praise God. I really do love where we are right now. And you heard that we're starting home groups. And all that is are moments for us to collectively, in small little groups, come together, sit down, walk through scriptures together, and walk through life together. Those two things. As we wrap up, I'm not saying to you, show everybody your vulnerabilities. You be prayerful about that. You can't show everybody everything about you. Be prayerful about that. And if there is someone that is young in their walk with God, be careful how much you show them about your life. Be careful about that. Be led by God. And if you have questions, you have elders, you have myself and our elders, you have people in the church that you can come to and say, how should I handle this situation? I'm discipling someone, and they asked me this question, and I wasn't quite sure. That's the reason why we have a community of faith. This is like the synagogue. It's where the teaching takes place so that we can go out and live our life, and then we come back to the church, and we get taught, and we're like, okay, we can talk some things, right? Then we go back out. The church was never meant to just be like a hangout spot. It was to come in with some questions like, God, I got some questions. And yes, I'm going to worship you and I'm going to pray, but I'm going to sit down with my notepad, and as the preacher is preaching, Lord, I'm asking you, you need to address some situations in my life. And if the preacher didn't touch on it, I need to talk to you. I need to set up a time to talk to you because I got some questions. And that is the reason for the church. It is meant to equip the saints for the work of ministry so that when you go out, you do the work, and then you come back, it's not for a sitting place. It's not just like, yeah, I'm a part of that church. You should say, I'm a part of that equipping center. And when I come, I am being equipped to do whatever it is that the Lord has called me to do. That's what we do. And that's the heart, I believe, of God. I got to say amen one time, right? Amen. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.